We're going to our Bibles together to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 5. And we're just going to read the first 11 verses in this passage tonight, Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose and wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her with her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, pastor, and I trust your radio friend. If you're listening in day by day, I pray that again today God will work His grace within your heart. What a merciful, loving, faithful friend the Lord Jesus is. We feel like singing that hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Indeed, if I have time, I will on the program here today. May the Lord minister to your heart. As ever, we call all Canadians back to the Bible, the only hope of our nation, the only hope for sinners to know God and be reconciled through the Lord Jesus. You want to know what is the power of the Bible? Let's listen to this. The Pilgrim reports Dr. Harry A. Ironside as a young preacher visiting the aged Alexander Fraser and listening enthralled as one truth after another was opened up from God's Word by Mr. Fraser until he could constrain himself no longer and cried out, Where did you learn these things? On my knees, on the mud floor of a little sod cottage in the north of Ireland, replied Mr. Fraser. There, with my Bible open before me, I used to kneel for hours at a time and ask the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to my soul and to open the Word to my heart. He taught me more on my knees on that mud floor than I could have learned in all the colleges and seminaries in the world. Let that drive you to the Bible. I challenge you to read the Bible for 1 month. Do so carefully and prayerfully. Begin at John's Gospel, because in John you have the revelation of the Father. And then read the book of Romans, because it is God's redemption road. It is the exposition of the cross work of the Lord Jesus. In the book of John, you'll read who Jesus is, how he died, how he rose again in power. But in Romans, you will get the internal workings of God in his wrath, because he hates all sin, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in the Lord Jesus, God poured out his wrath at the cross, and Jesus absorbed all the wrath of God. He took the hell that was due to sinners, and he bore it all, that sinners may be set 100% free from all condemnation and from all guilt. Just think of Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That is the glory of the gospel. And I want that for you, and I trust that you will listen in today and stay with us as we come to the final part of the message on Ananias and Sapphira. They were lost sinners, and they are a warning to us all. But praise God, there's hope. Stay tuned as we go to Acts chapter 5 today.
They wanted the recognition of men. They wanted everyone to think that they were giving their everything. And all the while they were holding back. And so this was the big lie. Then also it required both of them to lie. They had to both give the impression. And as it all played out, when Ananias was firstly challenged by Peter, well, when he lied, he fell dead. And then later when his wife Sapphira came in, and she also lied, and she fell dead. And so you can see how this crime multiplied and caused both of them to commit that sin. Also, it was not done in faith, because if they had believed the Lord that he would reward them, he would bless them for their giving, then they would have given their all, believing God will take care of them. And so this holding back is a marker of their unbelief. We need to be in control of this ourselves. We not know what bills might come up down the road and how to pay them. Let's hold it back. And all of it was an act of unbelief. And this little hoard of money was stashed away perhaps for a rainy day, but they were going to depend on themselves and their own little stash rather than lean on the Lord. They did not trust the church to use these funds properly, because if they were committed to the apostles and to the work of the church, then they would go directly to God's work and to his kingdom. But they didn't trust that. And of course, it must have brought offense to the apostles. This was a lie, but it was also a lack of trust in their care and their distribution of the funds. And so this became wicked in that it was unbelieving, untrusting, and divisive within the church. And we see the wickedness of this whole matter. Now we move to their crime and how it was discovered. What were they thinking? How could they possibly pull this off? Did they not know that God is all-seeing, and every evil is turned into a witness against the wicked? Surely Ananias and Sapphira must have known that. I read about Roman leader called Dionysius, and he built a prison. And he built the prison so that he could hear the conversation of the prisoners. And so he had their own conversations recorded, taken down, used against them, so that the prisoners became witnesses against themselves. Well, here is Ananias and Sapphira, and they're in that very same category. They are found out because God listens to every conversation. So it was known to the Lord. It was known to the apostles in verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And so it was made known to the apostles. And when this came out, they were challenged. Now you'll notice there that it was called a lie to the Holy Ghost. And you have to think about this, how it comes to be such a serious lie. Because, well, the Holy Spirit is God. And you'll note in verse 3 that they lied to the Holy Ghost. But down at the end of verse 4, Peter said, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And by the way, that is a great argument that the Holy Spirit is God. There he is, the full honor, the deity of Godhood is ascribed to the Holy Ghost. And so this was a lie to the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit had been poured out at Pentecost. The church was motivated, empowered by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was at work in the midst. And when this couple worked contrary to the leading of the Lord, it is said that they sinned against the Holy Spirit. And this was intolerable. This was a crime that was certainly very evil and wicked and was found out. We see too that it was discovered immediately, and there was no long suffering. And the moment that Peter announced their wickedness, there is Ananias, and he is falling down, carried out dead. There was no long suffering. And this was designed that the wickedness of his evil would be known to all. To die later, say he had died a week later or a month later or a year later, then it might not be attributed to this particular crime. But the very fact that he died that very instant shows that it was God's judgment upon his lying to the Holy Ghost. Now, God doesn't always work this way. God doesn't always smite men dead when they commit a particular crime. But when God is instituting new things, as in the New Testament church, there's very often a prime example that is given. The first Sabbath breaker, what happened to him? He died. Nadab and Abihu, who brought in false worship, they died. And then, of course, you have Achan, the man over the River Jordan, who sinned and again told a terrible lie. He was put to death. Now, that didn't happen in every incident, but it often happens as a first primary example. And that's what we see with Ananias right here. And we certainly learn that God hates hypocrisy. And we learn of the certainty of the exposure of hypocrisy. All this is required, and the pressure is on. Be sure your sin will find you out. And so we learn that the Lord's work requires complete honesty. There is no room for prevarication, hypocrisy, or carnality. God's work requires open, transparent honesty, and that will bring his blessing. And that's why God calls us to prepare our hearts before we come to worship. Through the Bible, we have many examples and exhortations to prepare our hearts, examine ourselves. And also when we come to the communion table, that we examine ourselves, that we are not guilty of sin that we have not confessed. And God requires that there be this purity. And in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, before the priest went into the presence of God, there was the laver where he washed and cleansed himself before he would go into the presence of God. And so we are reminded that there is a serious part to coming into the presence of God that we might worship him. Now we're going to close on the note of his punishment was death. If you look at verse 5, Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And then verse 10, we read of Sapphira's death. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Now, I've read that over and over, and I've wondered, how could they possibly have conducted her husband's funeral without her knowledge or without her there present? But that seems to be what was done, instant burials. And that happened in both cases. Now, I want you to note that Peter did not inflict the punishment. Peter, the apostle, was not the executioner. He did discern the lie. He did face both husband and wife with that lie, but he did not execute. He did not even speak a word that would bring about their death. That was left to the Lord. And so we see here that the apostles may have the keys to the kingdom, but they are not executioners of God's wrath. And Peter knew that, the apostles knew that, but somehow the Pope doesn't know that. And through history, there have been many that have become executioners of those that they felt were heretics. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit. How terrible to be under the conviction of the Spirit of God. The details are not given us here, but can you imagine the trembling, the fear, the sudden pressure upon their whole person that they fell down dead right there before the apostles? Jonathan Edwards, in his time of revival and preaching in New England, you remember that famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God? There were those who sat in that meeting and they clung to the pillars of the church. They were so impressed with eternity, judgment, and hell that they cried out and shrieked for mercy, because the Spirit of God was greatly dealing with those people. And the Spirit of God has done that in times of revival. And conviction of sin is a powerful thing. It brings a terrible sense of judgment and shame and of unworthiness. And many can function because of the awful weight of the conviction of sin. There's a great example of this in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Chapter 6, where you have Isaiah, and he beholds the glory of the Lord. And as you read these verses, you see just how Isaiah himself is falling down as one dead. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one at six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then flew one of the seraphims and ministered unto him. And he touched his lips, verse 7, his sin was taken away and purged. And then verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And you can see there how Isaiah was overwhelmed with the glory of the Lord. And the thing that was magnified in his eyes was his sins. They were magnified many, many times by the power and the ministry of the Spirit of God to his heart. And that is the testimony of all who are brought to consider their own sinfulness in the light of God's marvelous holiness. And so this immediate death of Ananias and Sapphira brought a tremendous fear upon the early church. It was like a crack of a whip to awaken them to the serious dealings of God right in their midst. And everyone realized that God had the power as if to flip a switch, and Ananias and Sapphira would fall dead right at their feet. And this brought about a tremendous impression of the reverence required as they come to worship. You'll read of that in verse 11. Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Surely we are in need of that fear of God in the Lord's church and in the land today. Is there fear of God in your heart tonight? Is that what keeps us from sinning? Is that what keeps us walking in the light? And we need to have this control our hearts. Now, if there was a fear of God, they would not rest a moment in themselves, but flee to the Lord Jesus. And of course, that's the plea of the gospel. That's the whole message of preaching Christ to sinners, that he is our refuge, that we are cleansed by his blood, and that when we forsake our sins, there is absolute mercy and forgiveness. But Ananias and Sapphira were pretenders. They wanted to put on a show to be accepted as Christians, but their profession was not real. Their motive for giving was fake. Their withholding from God was wicked. Their crime was found out. Their punishment was death. And they stand as beacons to warn everyone in the Lord's church and service to turn to Christ with all our hearts, and God will have mercy. But don't be a pretender. That's the message of Ananias and Sapphira. And I pray tonight that God will write this on our hearts, and we will take this wherever we go, tomorrow morning, Monday morning, that this fear of God will control us. We pray for this, for our nation, that our leaders will be moved by the fear of God, even in Parliament and decisions that they make. As we think of decisions with euthanasia, as I mentioned last week, abortion, and all the things that are going on in this country, may the fear of God fall upon this land and bring men and women to do what is righteous and right in the sight of God.
Oh, the seasons come and go, summer sun and winter snow. Though the passing years to earth their changes lend, there is one whose love so free for all time will changeless be. Jesus always is the same true friend. Jesus is my dearest friend.
This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I didn't find what a friend we have in Jesus. Actually, I'm quite surprised that I don't have that in my repertoire of music, but I found the nearest thing, and I trust you were blessed. What a friend we have in Jesus. It is a wonderful comfort in the Christian life to have a friend who is our Savior, and yet we can call him our elder brother. And that's true because he came down from heaven and took our nature. He lived in this world and he understands all the issues of human life, sin, temptation. Although he himself never sinned, he was an overcomer of sin, yet he was tempted in all points, like as we are. And we need the grace of the Lord Jesus to strengthen us. I was just reading today where the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And this is the power of Christian living, that when we confess our weakness, we enjoy the power of the Lord within our souls. Would you look that up? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Pray over that. Take it to heart. Pray that God will work it in your own heart and life, and he will make it real. That is the devotional prayer of the Christian. And I pray for you that God will be gracious. And if I can be of personal help, be sure to be in touch with me here. Call me at 604-897-2040. And I look forward to hearing from you. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.